If you're looking for a place where the wide open skies and the towering mountains inspire you to find an untapped part of yourself, you might want to take a trip to Wyoming. It's a place where bold, curious spirits forge their own way on all types of adventures. There is no shortage of iconic, expansive landscapes out there. You can discover breathtaking hikes, stunning state parks, authentic Western culture, and other historic sites, along with the tales of famous outlaws like Butch Cassidy and pioneers like Buffalo Bill Cody. The truth lies west. Discover yours at TravelWyoming.com.
Travel is great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com/music or call 855-437-2154. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.
I'm recording just about 1 foot away from my toilet.
Oh, cool. It's the best sounds is usually, I'm sure, right next to it.
It is a little known audio trick. As close to the toilet as you can get is where you get the best audio.
Yeah, that's cool.
I'm Dylan Thuris, and this is Atlas Obscura, a celebration of the world's strange, incredible, and wondrous TV shows. Today, I'm talking with John Wilson. He's the host of the HBO series How To with John Wilson. And I'll explain why I was compelled to start this conversation by talking about my toilet in a moment. But first, you should understand the show. Each episode begins with a simple premise: how to throw out your batteries, how to invest in real estate. But from that premise, John goes on this journey through New York City and sometimes far beyond, seeking answers to his questions, answers to this sprawling philosophical and personal exploration he's on. He and his small crew capture just hours and hours of footage of everyday real life, often in New York City. And they stitch it together against this kind of incredible deadpan narration. The footage that John tends to get, it's not shiny. It doesn't look nice. It's not glamorous. It's not the New York that you generally see on TV. It is the actual real New York. John is interested in the mundane, the strange, the less than photogenic, the trash cans of the world, the broken sidewalks, the toilets. And yet, all of it comes together to form this really fascinating and genuinely really tender portrait of New York City. How To with John Wilson is the best show about New York that I think has ever been made. It's part documentary, part memoir, part essay, and there's just nothing else like it in the world. Like John, I lived in New York for over a decade. I love the city. I love exploring it. I love finding the weird stuff in it, the secret corners. But I certainly was never able to distill its essence quite like this. So I wanted to talk to John. I wanted to figure out how he does what he does, what he goes looking for, what his process is, and what I can maybe learn from it. So let me tell you, now that I have been inside of John Wilson's head, it is a strange, incredible, and wondrous place. Here's our conversation.
The most interesting places to me, like, are, I think, the most kind of subtle places. Like just you enter someone's bedroom or living room in Ozone Park, and it's just like, I passed a house like this a million times. I would have never seen what it's like in here, but I just like wanted to have an excuse to see as many interiors like within the city as I possibly could.
You have a very specific persona on the show. You show very specific sort of aspects of yourself and your life, and obviously a lot of the behind the scenes stuff, the writer's room, the call sheets, normal TV production stuff is all is all hidden. Do you ever feel like you have been too successful in creating this kind of like the naive John Wilson persona?
It's funny, yeah, when people say that, because it's kind of assuming that I'm not actually naive. I think there's a slight put on for comic effect here and there, but for the most part, and I think a lot of my crew can back this up. I really don't know what's going on. And I think my kind of naivety kind of fuses with curiosity a lot of the time and ends up taking me to these strange environments and, you know, into these bizarre kind of inquiries, because I genuinely, you know, am a bit of a kind of a Mr. Magoo.
Well, I mean, I think just as a viewer of the show, I sort of desperately want to believe in this idea of you just kind of wandering the streets on your own, and one thing happens and another, and you just end up in these places by kind of happenstance and accident and serendipity. And I'm curious about like the ratio, if you had to try and identify a ratio of planned versus surprise, and how you think about those things in your work. Like, is that even something you could break down?
I'm really bad with numbers and stuff like that. You know, whenever anyone asks about how much footage we shot versus how much we used or anything like that, but I feel like the planning comes in the scripting. You know, if it's like I need to film a bunch of people who have noise complaints, you know, and then you know, we like try to do a bit of production work, you know, behind the scenes, setting up interviews like that. But then a lot of the best stuff just comes from just walking around a noisy area, you know, for instance, and just like looking up at an apartment and thinking like, wow, I've always wondered what it's like in there. And then we kind of just door knock, you know. So it's always a hybrid in that way. And I end up just trying to lean into the stuff that is and feels the most organic and discovered, because it that's the stuff that excites me the most when I'm watching it back.
Maybe this is like knowledge you don't want to give, but is there any places you're desperate to go? Like any kinds of things where you're just like, I find this so endlessly fascinating and I would really like to dive in?
I mean, I think you maybe did a podcast about this. I've always wanted to get to the top of the Chrysler Building and just see one kind of window. I think I've only seen one photo of a dentist chair, you know, like looking out onto the skyline from that like iconic window. And I've always wanted to get in there, but we couldn't really figure out either how to get up there or if like any kind of narrative, like justification for being up there.
Yeah, you're correct. The this route is now closed, but the route was through the dentist's office.
Yeah,
because it got you an appointment up to the floor, just a couple floors below, and then there was this kind of whole period of people making and skipping their dentist appointments, which had to start driving the dentist insane.
Yeah, that's clever. I tried to just get in, just like with no preparation, just on a ground level one day, and they got very upset with me. I did not try it again.
It's funny, like your neighborhood, Ridgewood, which I know pretty well, I lived really close to it for many years. You know, features really prominently in the show. Do you ever like just want to keep places to yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, I never really name Bridgewood in the show, but I guess secret's out. But
sorry,
yeah, no, it's
wait,
okay.
It's like, yeah.
No, it's not a secret. But yeah, there's a ton of stuff that I like to keep to myself. I mean, there are certain parts of the neighborhood that I do show, but it's mostly just because I want to preserve it. Like the stuff that I feel like is worth preserving, you know, like the pizzeria down the street from me. I love those guys. And it was basically just a commercial for those guys, you know?
Yeah.
So the stuff that I'm really kind of affectionate towards, I'll like, you know, I'll try to put it into the show.
Yeah. As the seasons of the show went on, it seems to me like the radius of locations got a little wider and wider. You know, was that on purpose? And have you ever imagined doing the show based somewhere else?
I think for the How To as a project, I always wanted to keep it in New York. But I also am just... like I love Americana, and I love to have an excuse to have a container, you know, like the show to put all that kind of, to put a road trip movie in there, you know, to put whatever I want in there, you know, just like, because I've been so inspired by like kind of certain essayists or kind of new journalism people over the years that write these like amazing kind of books or, you know, memoirs. And I just like wanted to fit all my favorite stuff into one thing. But yeah, I mean, it has expanded a bit.
Have you ever been to the House on the Rock in Wisconsin?
No, I want to go. My friend Bob was just telling me about it, and he showed me a bunch. He just went and he showed me a bunch of pictures. It looks incredible.
It's worth a trip. It's worth a trip. And not that far away, there's something called The Rock on the House, which is just a rock that fell on a house.
Which, that's cool.
I feel like you and Midwestern roadside attractions would like find a very happy time together.
I know, yeah. I mean, that's like the kind of stuff I like to visit, but I don't really know what to do with material like that visually, because it's already kind of someone else's art, even though it's so amazing to look at and be in that space. It feels kind of dead as like material to me.
Yeah.
There's like less to reinterpret because it's already... interpreted in some way.
Do you like to travel on your own? Are you a traveler, you know, sort of on your own time?
I don't know. I like to have an excuse to travel. If there's some kind of function or like big event, but I have a really hard time with travel. Maybe I'm just a baby, but I find airports and all those, just the whole process, the steps you have to take to get somewhere, I just find it so oppressive.
You need something to be happening to make it worth going, and for leisure, it just seems like it's not worth the pain.
Yeah, like traveling for fun to me, I don't do that often, because I like to have a project or just some objective there. So I try to invent that sometimes, just to make myself like feel like I have a destination. Otherwise, I'm just so lost. Which can yield interesting stuff sometimes, but...
Well, it's funny because your shows still end up feeling in this strange way, even if they never leave New York, like a kind of, like a travelogue. You know, they end up still having this, like, we went to this place, and then it led us to this place, and now, you know, it's sort of got this travelogue down the rabbit hole quality, I'd love to kind of just walk through the last episode of the last season, How to Track Your Package.
Yeah, sure.
So coming up, I go down the rabbit hole with John. We begin in a less than glamorous shipping center in Queens, a place I'm very familiar with, then make a stop at one of the most unusual restaurants in America, and end up at a cryonic facility in Arizona. All of that after this.
Travel is great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where OneTravel comes in. With OneTravel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With OneTravel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com/music or call 855-437-2154. Plan it, book it, live it. OneTravel.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.
Back to my conversation with John Wilson. We're going to talk about the series finale. The episode is called How to Track Your Package. The premise is there's a problem in John's neighborhood. Everybody's packages keep getting stolen. And so John goes on this mission to try and figure out how to solve that problem. And finding the answer to that question, and spoiler alert, it takes him across the country from Ridgewood, Queens to Scottsdale, Arizona. And it ultimately lands him at this pretty cultish cryonic facility called Alcor. It is absolutely wild. And you don't need to have watched the episode to enjoy the rest of this conversation. But if you haven't watched it, God, I recommend you do. And then when you listen to the rest of this, you will understand just how weird it all gets. Okay, here we go.
How to Track Your Package started with, like, very innocently in Queens with a package theft. And, you know, it's just, as you walk around, like, one of the most dominant bits of signage you see on every other door is detailed instructions about how to deliver something safely, like throw it over the fence or give it to this person in this building, you know, next door. And I felt like it was good subject matter because it seems like a really hard, like, or nearly impossible problem to solve, to fully solve in the city, which is always a good way to start.
I got excited because first you went to, like, the FedEx place in Masbeth, which I've been to. I biked there. It's one of those crossroads in Queens. I think it's the same one where it's like 55th Ave and 55th Drive. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's a different shipping center. But I was like, feel like I've been to this shipping center in Masbeth.
Yeah, it's a really abysmal space, especially when you're on foot. And you know, I've seen people just get so heated there. It's like, you know, that's usually the worst day of your week or your month whenever you're going to a space like that. And so then, like, the kind of narrative is kind of obvious to me from at that point, where I'm like, all right, this is like a great excuse to be in these intimate spaces with other New Yorkers and just see how they deal with it and what got stolen. And we talked to so many people. Like, this one woman, you know, she had a dress that was stolen, and then she saw her friend or, like, acquaintance wearing the dress all, like, around the neighborhood, and she didn't say anything, but she used the show as an opportunity to call her out publicly for it.
But then you cut it out, right? That's not in the episode.
Yeah, it's not in there. just because we had to like, yeah, and so many like weird, funny, quirky package stories like that. In the edit, we just ended up shaving it down to like just a couple because there was the one woman who was worried about her egg freezing supplies being stolen. And that triggered this, you know, this idea about, oh yeah, like human organs and then just the idea of, you know, like having a child and family stuff and freezing and all of this stuff. Like we didn't realize how relevant it would be in the moment. Then when we're looking back in the edit, it's like, oh, this is like the most like such great foreshadowing here. And yeah. She just like offered it just off the cuff, you know?
Well, you make this amazing pivot like in the middle where, you know, you sort of talk about packages, you talk to a psychic, it gets kind of slightly personal. And there's this moment where you talk about organ shipping and that leads you to Arizona.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. So I wanted to get into actual organ shipment. And we did set up a couple of interviews. Like I met with the actual place that freezes the eggs, but it wasn't very funny and didn't tell you really anything you didn't already know. So, but the funny thing that happened was the kind of mix up with production where they, you know, I ended up at like a musical organ place and he was showing us how to pack and ship an actual organ that you play. And then he said it was going to Arizona. So I did know that there was like the organ pizza place there. And I really wanted to see that just as like, and that was just going to be a punchline about me leaning into the organ thing a bit too much.
Yeah.
And then, you know, cause we have like, I don't think I would do that if I was making it alone. I mean, but we had an HBO budget and they like, and we take a lot of unnecessary trips.
You were like, this is funny. Like, oh, we're talking to this guy who ships musical organs. Oh, like some of them will end up in Arizona where there's that organ stop pizza. Maybe we should go and film that cause that seems funny and fun.
Yeah, and then I spent a while talking to people at the Oregon pizza place, and we just, you know, and then I meet that guy Mike, and we kind of just spend the rest of the time just diving into this whole community of people who want to freeze themselves and be defrosted later in the future, kind of like a pizza.
I mean, this is the part of the show that actually feels like magic. Do you know what I mean? Like, was the organ thing, was the musical organ thing really a mix-up? You don't have
the musical organ thing really a mix-up?
Yeah.
What do you think?
No, I think you're too, I think you have too much, you're too clever for this. But I do like, I can't imagine that you knew you would meet Mike at Organ Stop Pizza. That to me feels like true serendipity. And maybe it's not, but I prefer to believe that you wander through the world and it sort of opens itself up to you in these ways that like are just magical.
Yeah, I mean, like we had this like, It really just, it's a numbers game. Like I don't know how else to explain it. And I feel like very, I'm not like a religious or spiritual or kind of person, or I don't really know how to feel about like, synchronicity or anything like that. But when you're pursuing something, like these things, just these strange things reveal themselves to you, and just through the act of doing it, and I don't really know, like, and there's just been so much coincidence in the show that it's really scary to think that I wouldn't have been in the right place at the right time to meet these people, and then we wouldn't have had an episode. But I think that over and over again, we just prove that just by having an open mind and like a general idea of what you want, or like that you want something, and then you kind of retroactively make everything make sense just within the edit.
The thing that happens at the end of this episode, How to Track a Package, where you meet Mike at the Oregon Stop Pizza. Mike happens to work for this cryogenics company, which is all about freezing yourself indefinitely and being brought back to life later. And then you have this like shockingly intimate conversation with him.
Yeah.
It's wild. And when you're having a conversation like that with someone like Mike, how do you let it keep happening? I feel like when people get into awkward conversations, they often like find the quickest exit they can, just like instinctually. How do you sort of avoid doing that?
I mean, yeah, I never do that.
I would guess not. Yeah.
No, I don't know. Even when I'm not recording, if someone is just like talking to me at a bar, I usually just let them talk, and that's just what they want to do. And if someone wants to talk, I don't really have anything interesting to say, so I just like let them go on and on.
So this story that begins with a stolen package on John's doorstep has now wound its way through this bleak shipping center in Queens to this absurd pizza restaurant, to this cryonics conference, to a profoundly intimate conversation in a stranger's living room in Arizona. This is what I mean when I say How To really can feel like a travelogue. There's this sense of adventure and spontaneity and just surprise coincidence, and one thing leads to the next until you suddenly landed at what feels like somehow the exact perfect destination and answer to the question posed by John. You know, you end the last episode of this show, right? Like the third season is the final season of How To, anyway, with this shot that I really recognize. I lived in Greenpoint for years and years, driving, I think, on the BQE towards Greenpoint Avenue. The city is like lit up. Why did you want to end with this picture of New York as the last thing you see of this entire series?
It's funny because people like look for meaning in every single image of the show, which I don't blame them for, because that's how 99% of it is designed. But there are other moments that are just, I think, pretty kind of just really beautiful images to me. So that shot, it wasn't like a double meaning to it, really. It was just like one of the most beautiful sunsets that we had in our library, and it felt imperfect, and it just kind of like pans away as if we're just ending our day of filming, you know, from the car. And just something about the energy of it I really liked. And yeah. Like, yeah, so nothing about Greenpoint, nothing about the BQE, really. It was I just wanted to end with a skyline.
Think you're a lifelong New Yorker?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I love it here. This is my favorite place in the world.
Yeah. You can tell. You can feel it, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I think this series is maybe one of the great love notes to New York, really, in the most kind of like real way, you know? Yeah.
Thank you, man. But, you know, yeah, love means having a complicated relationship with it too. So,
for sure.
You know, warts and all.
That was John Wilson. He is the creator and director of the HBO show How To with John Wilson. You should really check it out. It is unlike anything I have ever seen anywhere else. We have episodes about a bunch of the places that John and I talked about today,
And we'll put some links in the episode description. We have one about the Chrysler Building Eagles and this period of people sneaking up there. There is House on the Rock. And there's one about a place that I still haven't been to, but I'm dying to go, Oregon Stop Pizza.
How is Oregon Stop Pizza, by the way? We did an episode about that as well, but I've never been there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've always wanted to go. I'm, like, really into it.
I think maybe I got the wrong thing.
makes sense.
I think I got some kind of, like, meat blasted kind of, I don't know, olive. It was, like, everything on it, and it was one of the craziest things I've ever tasted.
It's funny you say this, because you show it in the episode, and I was like, what the hell?
I know.
What is that? It's this tiny, like, piled with all this random stuff.
Yeah, don't go there for the food, is all I'll say.
This episode was produced by
Johanna Mayer.
Our podcast is a co-production of Atlas Obscura and Stitcher Studios. The production team includes
Doug Baldinger,
Chris Naka,
Camille Stanley,
Manolo Morales,
Baudelaire,
Gabby Gladney.
Our technical director is
Casey Holford.
This episode was mixed by
Luce Fleming.
And our theme and end credit music is by Sam Tyndall. I'm Dylan Thuris, wishing you all the wonder in the world. I will see you next time.
Travel is great, but planning for travel can be time-consuming and difficult. That's where One Travel comes in. With One Travel, you'll find everything you need to book the perfect trip. Flights, hotels, cars, transportation, it's all right there. With One Travel, you can book online, via app, or even pick up the phone and talk to a travel advisor ready to help you make your selections. Visit onetravel.com/music or call 855-437-2154. Plan it, book it, live it. One Travel.
The most exciting part of a vacation stay at a home rental? Easy. It's being greeted upon arrival with a rusted lockbox affixed to the underside of a stranger's condo. Yeah, you simply twist knobs, click gears, jiggle it, and then rip it off its moorings, and voila! Your prize is a key to a questionable home rental and maybe tetanus. When you just want to get your vacation started by actually getting into your room, it matters where you stay. At Hilton, we deliver your key right to your phone on the Hilton Honors app. Hilton, for the stay.